straight from the dead.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is gospel radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blunt Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
And stand on your feet and honor the word of the Lord. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh for this wonderful opportunity to hear from you. I thank you, God, that as you have ordered this word, you've also ordered this work. I pray that that would be witnesses, not only to your word, but to what you have to say to each of us individually and all of us collectively. And we'll be ever so careful to give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Psalm number 42. I've been here before, but the Spirit of the Lord has led me back. And I just want to read, beginning at verse 1. Psalm number 42, beginning at verse 1. As the hart panted after the water brooks, so panted my soul after thee, O God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. I want to talk about today being refreshed in a dry place. Being refreshed in a dry place. I can't help but notice on many Sunday mornings how so many of the blessed people of God are experiencing a dry place. Whether they acknowledge it, whether they even realize it, and it's kind of difficult not to realize it, but sometimes you have lost your moistness over a period of time, and your dryness was not an overnight experience until you have become dry in a progressive manner, and all you know is it's just something not right. It doesn't feel right. Don't have joy anymore. No light in your eyes. No gladness in your voice. No clapping in your hand. No stomping in your feet. No praise out of your person. And it's because you are in a dry place. You know God is real. You know God is still keeping you. You know God is still on the throne. You know God still has all power in his hand, but somehow it's not making its way to your life. You know you're blessed better than you deserve to be blessed. You know God has looked beyond your faults and met every need you have, and he's still meeting some that you know he shouldn't meet, but he's just that kind of God. And yet in the midst of all of that, you still find yourself in a dry place. Matter of fact, you're dry, and just about everything connected to you is drying up. And you're wondering where the problem lies. But I want to give you some helpful holy hints from the word and how to be refreshed in a dry place. You see, because the problem is, and so many folk, when they get dry, they project their dryness on others. Well, pastor must not have been feeling too good today. The choir must not have been feeling too well today. I don't know, it just didn't feel like church. I got news for you. If you got a word and God's word goes forth and your spirit is connected to his spirit, I don't care who doesn't shout around you. If it's right with you, there ought to be something on the inside of you that will bear witness if you are not in a dry place. You can even know it's right and still won't open your mouth and say amen. Because your spirit is gone. Not really gone, but so weak and tired and dry till it cannot bear witness and it does not rejoice in the things of God. And so there are some things that I want you to know. Actually, Psalm 42 and 43 actually have a lot to do and are connected with one another. And I know it's a lot of reading, but I just want to read, because one of the things that I want you to see in these two Psalms, 43 is very short, it's only five verses, but I want you to see there are some things that you've got to learn to do when you're in a dry place and you want to be refreshed. Now, if you're writing notes down, first thing I want you to do is write down, talk to God. Talk to God. One of the things that you see the psalmist is clearly doing in his dry place is turning his attention to God and talking to God. You see, our problem is when we get in a dry place, we want to talk to everybody but God. And the problem is that when you talk to everybody but God, you talk to people who most times cause you to be more drier when you're through talking than who can help you in your state of dryness. Look at what he says, as the hart, as the deer, panteth, breathing hard. Listen. After the water brooks, so panted my soul after thee, O God. Now remember now, as we read through this, look at what he's doing. He's talking to God. My soul thirsted for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is health, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Now look at verse 43. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? You're going to see some of the very verbiage in 42 that you see here in 43. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Now listen to this again, because I want you to see this. David is clear about one thing, that if you're really going to get to the heart of the matter, you got to talk about it. You see, one of the things the enemy doesn't want you to do is to release how you feel, because when you release how you feel, you make others, whomever is responsible for, accountable for your situation when you say to them what your problem is. Folk will look at you and know you got a problem. And some don't care enough to ask you what is your problem. But if you're ever asked your problem and they're a part of it, or an answer to the answer of your problem, then it's your responsibility to talk to them. You see, when you don't talk to people that you ought to talk to, it gives the enemy a chance to bring havoc into the situation, to bring in false and vain imaginations. It gives them the opportunity to think things far worse, think things far different, and think things more destructive many times than what the actual situation is. And so it is always your responsibility, beginning with God, to talk to him about the issues you have underneath your skin. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you this, if you learn how to talk to God first, you might not have to talk to so many other folk. If you learn how to talk to God and open up to God, communicate with God, release unto God, confess unto God, profess unto God, get it out so that God hears you, he already knows what you have need of. But it's in that sweet fellowship, it's in that time, it's in that place that he wants to hear from you. So the first thing you need to do is talk to God. Tell your neighbor, talk to God. Matter of fact, if you learn how to talk to him more frequently, you won't have issues talking with him at all. See, the problem is a whole lot of us don't talk to him enough. We talk to him maybe once every now and then. We talk to him when we get to the point where we just can't handle our issues no more. But I got news for you. If you learn how to talk to him on a regular basis, you're going to learn he's going to talk back to you on a regular basis. And you're going to learn you're not going to have the buildups that you have, so much so that when you open your mouth, it's almost like an explosion happens, because you're up to that point. No. Stevie Wonder, I believe it was, that said, have a little talk with God. When it seems your life is hard, just go have a little talk with God. And you know, if he can tell you that, because some of you won't listen to the Christian songs, then you ought to at least take him up on that advice. Listen at this. Not only must you talk with God or to God, because it begins with talking to him before it actually begins to become a conversation and a communication where it is with God. So it starts off as a monologue. And a monologue is when one person is talking. And so you start there, but before it's all over, you'll have a dialogue. That's where two people are communicating. So the first thing is you talk with God, to God. But the second thing is you tell God how you really feel. Now, how many of you know you can talk to people all day and never tell them how you really feel? How many times have you been in a place and somebody full of a discerning spirit know that you want to tell them something, and you've been talking and talking and talking and talking, and they're like, come on, is that what you really want to say? Well, no, I really got to say, but come on, say it. And then you go talk a little more, and you talk and talk, and you never say what you really want to say. Do you know, and I want to throw this out parenthetically, that that's why many of your prayers never get answered? Because when you talk to God, you never really tell him what you want. You never really tell him how you really feel. You never really express to him your disappointment, your letdowns, your sins, your shortcomings, how you are, how you feel after being done wrong, etc., etc. You don't really tell him how you feel. So though you have prayed, communicated, said some flowery words, said some model words, said some things you've heard other folks say, it may not have appropriately and accurately articulated your real feelings underneath your skin. And so you're wondering, why didn't God do something about it? Well, the question becomes, what did you tell him to do? What did you ask him to do? What did you inform him and then inquire about what he would do? You see, one of the things that you miss about true communication and effective communication is God wants you to be real with him. Let me say that again, because some of you all were too quiet. I said God wants you to be real with him. Here's what I want you to realize. He already knows everything there is to know. You can't hide anything from him. He knows your thought, the intent of your thought. He knows everything that you could possibly begin to even unfold and reason in your own psyche. So there's nothing you can hide from him. You don't have to be embarrassed to be real, because he knows your secret already. And the reason why you can't get your deliverance, can't get your blessing, can't get your breakthrough, can't get your answer is because you're not being real enough with God to say, God, this is how I feel. You try to be so holy and say stuff that sounds good rather than being real and saying, God, my heart is hurting. This is the reason why. You need to be real enough to say, and Lord, this is the person that heard it. See, there y'all getting holier than thou now. You need to be real enough and say, Lord, now what you gonna do about this? But let me help you understand. Let's go back through the text again. And this is no rocket science. It's right here, and I want you to see it. Because not only does he talk to the Lord, but he tells the Lord about how he feels, where he is, what he desires. And again, you've got to see it's coming from him. It's not coming from God. It's coming from him. Your situation won't ever change, won't ever get better, won't rise to the next level, won't have what God wants you to have until you learn how to be real enough to tell him how you feel. And ain't nothing wrong with you being able to say, God, listen, I'm in a dry place right now. I can't even feel you. Spirit is all around, high praise is going on, and I don't feel nothing. I don't even get a little buzz. No charge, no nothing. And I know you're real, and I know you're good to me, and I know you've been with me this week, and I know you woke me up this morning, and I know you're worthy of my praise, but I'm going through so much hell, I can't feel nothing right now. Because if you were going through heaven, you'd be shouting right now. So it's clear what you're going through. Then you got to be able to differentiate the difference between you going through hell and hell going through you. But in either case, most times, it still produces a dryness. And one has to do with you, and the other has to do with the enemy. But it still produces a dry place. But here's what you need to know. That when you tell God how you really feel, look at him, verse 1 again. He says something to God that is so simple and plain. As the hart, as the deer, panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. God, I'm so dry that I need your fresh anointing. As a deer who's been running because hunters have tried to kill him and place snares and traps for him, and he has dodged them and ducked them and gotten away from them, and he's running now and he needs some water because he's dry and he's looking for water, and that's his heart's desire now. That's his whole focus right now, to get some water to refresh him, to refuel him, to revive him, so he can move on just a little bit further. He's like, God, I've been through so much so that I'm dry right now. I don't have nothing else in me to go no further. And I need you as a deer needs water after he's been chased. Here's what he said. The devil has been after me and I've been running. I've been running for my life. I've been doing what I'm supposed to do. And yeah, I know I can put him to flight, but yet I've got to get myself together. And until you get yourself together, sometime you just got to get out the place you're in and run. And sometime it's in the running that you collect your thoughts and get yourself together until you're able to come to a stand. And then from a stand to back to a turn. And from a turn, then you go to the offense instead of being on the defense. But sometimes it hits you so quick, you just got to run. And it takes something out of you when you are running for your life. Look at what he says. My soul thirsted for God, not anybody else. For the living God. I ain't talking about some animated God, some false God, some idol God. For the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Look at what he says. My tears have been my meat. Is he talking to God now? Is he telling God how he really feels now? Is he bringing God up to date on his experience internally and externally now? Look at what he says. He says, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? You know what the enemy likes to see when you get in trouble? And they don't see your God rescuing you right away. And they talk about, yeah, you always in church, and yeah, you always praising God, and yeah, you always giving your money, and yeah, you always doing this. Where is God when you need him? He's throwing back in their face, saying to God, they're throwing back in his face, his God. Listen to what he says. He says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God. With the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down? He said, I didn't leave you, God. I still go to church, even though I'm going through hell. I still try to do the right thing, and I still stay in the fellowship. I don't understand why I'm going through what I'm going through. And I've been even in the company of people who love you also. At this. He says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted? Why don't I have no peace underneath the skin? Man, these are the kind of things that hit you and you don't know where they've come from. All of a sudden, just seem like your world starts falling apart piece by piece. And if it's not one thing, then it's another. And when you look around, it's this. And if it's not this, it's that. And then one thing happens and it seems to set off a set of events that just won't stop happening. And then your peace starts to leave you. You know God can do anything but fail. But it seems like every time you call him, he either don't pick up or you get a busy signal. You keep calling him up, and even if you think he's about to pick up, it goes in the voicemail. And it's just like you can't get a connection with God. And you're in the place. Some of you are sitting here right here saying, preacher, you talking to me because I'm in church, but you talking about, I know David, but you talking to me. I look at other folk, they're shouting, having a good time, and I'm wondering what they're shouting about. Why is God blessing them with them, in fellowship with them, and he's missing me, skipping over me? Person on either side, I'm rejoicing in the spirit, and I'm dry. Look at what he goes on to say. I want you to see this. Again, verse 6, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Deep, listen to what he says, calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yeah. And when he begins to talk this way, he's talking about this ain't no surface stuff. Yeah. He's literally talking about this is on the spiritual level. You see, there are things that happen in the flesh that happen in the natural, and you can deal with them and you can correct them in the natural and in the flesh. But when they get in the spiritual realm, it's far deeper than a flesh issue. It's much deeper than how you feel. It's much deeper than just your emotions. It's a spiritual battle going on, and you know it, and it's your spirit crying up from deep within you. God, I need you. God, there ain't no song gonna help this. That might be my favorite right song, but when it comes on, it don't even move me no more. It's deeper than this kind of thing. Ain't no surface sermon gonna help this. I need the Holy Spirit to get to the root of the problem, down to the core of the problem, and shake loose the hole that the enemy may have in the spirit realm of my existence. Yeah. Listen at this, because he's telling God how he truly feels. See, you really can't get deliverance if you don't want to admit you've been caught. If you're trapped. If you're messed up, you can't get no deliverance, no breakthrough, if you don't want to admit you're going through. How are you? Oh, everything fine? Well, if it's fine, why you act like it's not? Why is there no joy in you? No life in your spirit? No praise on your lips? Why is it then that you look like you look? That's not ever the countenance of people who are doing well. Listen at this, because I want you to see this again. He says, verse 8, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto God, to the God of my life. He says, God, listen, I'm going to tell you, I ain't feeling it, but I know it's so much deeper than a feeling. It's not anything, and just excuse me, because I know right from wrong, and there is a head religion and a heart religion, and every now and then they're separated, and until I can get them both on the same accord, what I do know is that your word is real. And so I'm going to start with what I do know and work it from where I do know it works from. And even as I give you what I know you deserve, even though I don't feel it, sooner or later, if I just keep on talking to you, if I just keep on telling it to you, if I keep on being real with you, sooner or later, deliverance is going to, you're going to shake up some stuff that's got me held down and bound, and I'm going to sense your presence. And I'll be able to sure enough rejoice. Well, let me take it to the third point, and I'm going to close this on out. Point three is, point one, first, you got to do what? You got to talk to God. Got to talk to God. Got to talk to God. On your way to work, in your talk to him. In your private time, talk to him. Shut the TV off. Turn the radio CD off. Have a little talk. Listen, 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 listen. On your break, instead of eating, won't you go talk with God? But then not only talk to him, but be real with him and tell him how you really feel. Because he already knows anyhow. He knows when you're at your last end, one more step, and it would be all over. He knows that. He knows you were one word from cussing somebody out. Now don't sit here and act holier than thou with me here. He knows your hand went up when it wanted to go out. He knows. knows you turned and walked away because it was going to be something that day. It was about to be